Well, today's a little bit of a different service than you're usually accustomed to. We've been unpacking the Sermon on the Mount the last number of weeks, and we kind of felt like, let's take a moment of pause from that, and let's just kind of just celebrate some of the things that the Lord is doing, some of which we obviously were able to see. But I think sometimes we get so busy moving on to the next thing that we fail to take a moment of pause and consider what God has been doing. And we don't want to do that because there's just been some tremendous things that the Lord has been doing here at Integrity Church that we give God all the glory and the praise for. And it has impacted. There's been so many lives that have been impacted by that to kind of just move on to the next week, I just kind of felt like, let's just take a moment and of pause and think about what the Lord has been doing. Because, you know, the reality of it is that God in his wisdom, God in his sovereignty has ordained for us to be together. God has brought us together as a local expression of a much bigger body called the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And we sometimes, we can fail to forget, we can fail to remember sometimes how significant and how important that really is. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, says to them in chapter 12, he says that we are the body of Christ. That in the same way that our physical bodies are many members that make up one body, likewise, we are the body of Christ. And therefore, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand can't say to the foot, I don't have any need of you. Each part of the body needs the other parts so that we can function together. When all the body is working together and doing what it needs to, you know what we call that? Healthy. How many are all for healthy? Right? We want to be healthy. It's the way God designed it. And so just kind of three things I just want to bring to your awareness. Number one is that God designed it that way. God designed it so that we would be mutually needing one another. God is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One in essence, three in person. They are a community. And they each have a work, they work alongside each other, ultimately to do many things, but the whole plan of redemption is carried out by the community of the Godhead. And we who have been made in the image of God, we are a part of a community as well called the church. And God has created us in such a way and designed us in such a way that no man is an island. We need each other. That if we want to be able to accomplish the things that God's called for us to accomplish and walk in, we need to draw from one another. And so number one, we were designed that way. Number two, God has resourced us that way. The scripture talks about the spiritual gifts that are within the body of Christ. No one person has all the spiritual gifts. And yet, together, all the spiritual gifts can be carried out. And so the way God designed it is so that we would mutually depend upon one another. God made a spiritual investment into your life. He made a spiritual deposit into your life to edify, to build up the body of Christ. And he's designed us in such a way that we need each other to accomplish those things. Everything we need as a church to accomplish the mission that God's called us to do resides within the body of Christ. Everything we need. There are no gaps in this church. You say, Pastor, I can give you five of them. I can give you 10 of them. We don't have gaps. We have lack of perhaps somebody bringing their gift to the table, right? Everything we need to accomplish the mission God's called us to is within the body of Christ that God has pulled together called Integrity Church. And so he's resourced us. Why? So that we would thrive, that we'd find our purpose. That's the third thing, right? We're designed that way. We are resourced together, and then we thrive together when we are running together, mutually dependent upon one another, in community, in fellowship, learning from each other's strengths, building upon our own weaknesses, and drawing off of that spiritual deposit that God has placed in the lives of one another. And you know, as you're about to hear, there's been so many wonderful stories that have been written in this last year here at Integrity Church. So many lives have been changed and healed and encouraged and built up, and that we just kind of thought, let's just take a moment and celebrate what the Lord has done. And so so today's service will be a little different than perhaps you're used to. But with that, I'm going to ask Pastor Tom if he'd come.
Just kidding. It's great to see you all this morning. If you were to, or you needed to write a handbook, actually, to instruct a group of people how to live in godly community, then the book of Romans, chapter 12, could solely be the text for that book. It is packed with simple, yet very, very profound statements and commands that God has given us to help us live a life that would truly change this world if we follow them. Listen to some of them. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. As one of the pastors here, I have an awesome privilege and honor to be able to have a front seat in the theater of what we call Integrity Church. And nothing encourages me more than to see you all fulfilling these commands that God has given us. On August 25th, Eddie and Casey Bonsignori were in a serious motorcycle accident that landed both of them in the hospital. Eddie had fractured his pelvis in multiple places, amongst other very difficult internal wounds that he had to deal with. Not only that, but at one point, they strapped something around him to keep him together, and he started actually bleeding because an artery was cut. And if they hadn't given him some blood through his carotid artery, he probably would have died. So we are so grateful that he is here, and actually here today with us. Praise God. And Casey also sustained some injuries. She broke her ankle. She had lacerations on her fingers, bruises on her arms and legs. Is still being tested for a possible concussion. Is even having trouble grabbing things with her hands like she used to be able to. And they have two little ones at home, 1.5 years old and 4 years old. And the way you came alongside of them to help them out during this time was truly beautiful. You provided meals for them. You told them that if they needed a ride anywhere, since neither of them could drive, that you'd be there for them, and you prayed for them. So, so proud of what this church has done for my brother and sister-in-law. It's awesome stuff. So also, Andy Fiermonte had also gone through a difficult time, and he continues, but thank God he is getting better as well. But for quite a while there, we were providing meals for him. And at this point, he has asked that we slow down those meals because his need for food has been far surpassed by your desire to fulfill that need. And so congratulations, church. Again, you are fulfilling the plans that God has for those in this church who are in need. For Eddie, Casey, and Andy, and many others in our church family, you have been faithful in prayer. You have shared with the Lord's people, when they were in need, and you have practiced hospitality. But even on a more personal note, I have felt firsthand the love of God directly from you, as about a month ago, my dad passed away, and you were there to encourage me in so many ways. You sent encouraging texts to my phone. You sent beautiful cards to my home. I never felt alone. I think I need to write a song. I think it's developing into something here. But you even came to Pennsylvania to attend the memorial service of my dad. And I tell you, it felt so wonderful to see familiar faces, people who loved me and cared for me in an unfamiliar place. So I so much appreciate that. Words can't express the gratitude that I have toward each one of you. And it turns out that several of the people who came to Pennsylvania and supported me were people in my cohesion group. Again, another great testimony of what cohesion is supposed to do and does in such a beautiful way. When we gather together in these smaller groups, we get to learn what's going on in each other's lives, and we care for each other on a deeper level than we ever could just meeting on a Sunday morning. So I pray that if you're not part of a group, that you'd be part, because I tell you, the blessings that we receive through these groups is just unbelievable. It's true. So in my case, to fulfill some of those scriptures, you devoted yourself to me in love. You were faithful in prayer, and you mourned when I mourned. We are, as Pastor Tony said, the body of Christ. And we have the honor and privilege of partnering with God to show each other God's love in a way that we can only do as we give sacrificially and we think outside of ourselves and realize that there is a body here that needs ministering and there's a body that is able to minister. So as we come together in this place, I pray that that would always be in the back of our minds. How can I be a blessing to someone else? Amen? God bless. Pastor Taylor.
There's so many ways that the young adult group has been able to come together and to surround each other and become a community for each other that previously didn't exist. Sometimes they tutor each other. Sometimes they walk each other through different situations that they're having at home, or they relate to one another the things in the past. So maybe someone who's 26, 27, 28 can walk someone through who's 18, 19, 20, 21 down the roads that they've already been through. They've been able to help out with the different church plants that we have our fingers in, cooking for them, helping move gym equipment, like all sorts of things. They've been there for each other to help single moms and to do babysitting and all sorts of wonderful ways that they've been trying to embody the better together mindset that the community of Christ stands for one another. And I could stammer on and on about that, but I think you'd rather hear testimony about that. So Nick Giorgio, if you can come forward and offer some testimony about how the community has surrounded you. Let's give a hand for Nick.
Pastor Tom gave me a tip to not hold the mic so close to my face because I have a loud voice, so I'm going to keep it down here. Thanks, Pastor Tom. I can go on and on about how this community has poured into me, uplifted me, and just grew me as a Christian man. I've never come from a faith background or anything like that. See, this world has left me broken. When I lost my brother 9 years ago, I had a preconceived notion about what community was. People that were supposed to be there for you, right? Uplift you when the times get tough and, you know, just keep pouring into you. All those people in high school that said that they were going to be there for me when my brother died, not one asked me how I was doing. Not one asked me, be like, hey, do you need anything? Can we pour into you? So I had a preconceived notion. I was burned by the world. Maybe you're sitting in your seat saying that maybe church has burned me. I don't know where you've come from, or maybe a previous community has burned me. You have a preconceived story in your head. That's what happened when I showed up to this young adults group about a year and change ago, that how can they possibly relate to me? I've been through so much back, forth, up and down, that how could they even know what I am going through? And that's the lie that we buy into, that the enemy wants us to buy into, is that I can do it on my own. You don't need a community. You can do this by yourself. If you've bought into that, we're already finished. Because you don't sharpen yourself. Iron sharpens iron. We need strong Christian men and women to pour into us because we can't see it ourselves. And that's what this group has done for me continuously throughout my brother's death, throughout, you know, getting involved with drugs, alcohol, my whole past. I can list it all. But I encourage you, get past yourself and get plugged in, whether you're a young adult or whether you're an adult, I don't know. Get past that preconceived notion in your head. We need community. How are we going to fight a full-time enemy if we're by ourselves? We can't. We need a whole entire community behind us to pour into us. And as a result, I'm not just benefiting, but as Pastor Taylor said, we're pouring into the 19s, the 18s, the 17s, so that they can do better than what we're going to do. And I encourage you, let's all get together, get behind, and see what the glory of God can do. Thank you.
And we're super proud of you, man, and the growth seen in literally a year from being extremely far off from Christ and from his gospel message of his sacrifice for our lives to maturing, to being a part of the community, to reading, to giving back, and to doing a really great job, man, of embodying the leveled Christian life. So good job, Nick. That's really, really great, and we're proud of you. Thank you.
I'm proud of Pastor Taylor, too. What a great ministry that Summit has become, and it's just been a blessing just to see that grow and develop, and it's been wonderful. While back, we were kind of looking at the ministries of our church and the things that we were doing, and we were starting to realize, because we were had all of our we call them directional leaders in the church, were all the men in the church, and we started to realize, wait a second, this is starting to look like a man church. Everything is starting to, everything we're doing was starting, was not really reaching or making accessible to or connecting with many of our ladies. And so we thought, you know what, we really need to identify somebody that will help us to think through how to best identify, empower, and release women in our church to do ministry. Some of the best resources we have in our church are the ladies in our church, and also one of the least used resources in our church. And so we just got together with Charlene Riker, who has a passion for women's ministry. And I think one of the things I love about Charlene is that she is always wanting to grow. She's always looking to see how we can do things more effectively and better. And so, Charlene, if you'd come at this time, I'm going to ask Charlene to come. Yes, welcome. Charlene's been helping us think through what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how is that going to best serve and minister to the ladies in our church. And to the young moms in our church, which usually is not on most of the men's radar, right? I mean, let's just be honest. And so we're really thankful that Charlene has willingly stepped up and helped to raise our awareness of that. And thankfully, we're good enough friends that she's kind of like, you can't do it like that. That's just not, you know, there's a freedom to just express, no, that's wrong. You got to redo it. And so it's been a great journey. And I know we're just beginning to really unfold how we can best release the ladies in the church here from ministry. And so we've asked Charlene to be the director of all of our women's ministries here at the church, and looking at the different things and coming into our elders' meetings and staff meetings and saying, so like, how are the decisions that we're making going to best serve the ladies? Because it's, you know, it's not on Pastor Taylor's radar. Sorry, man. It's not on Pastor Tom's radar. It's not like, it's just, we're not thinking like that, right? And a good majority of our church are ladies. And so Charlene has been really, really helpful in that area. And so share, please, with us the things.
Good morning. So my husband told me to hold it closer. I have been really privileged to serve in this church and to walk alongside of so many wonderful, wonderful women, have taught me so much. And I was asked to come up here and to describe what is going on in the lives of women and what's going on in this ministry. But there's so many intangible things happening that it felt like an impossible task. So I wanted to start with what are we about? Why are we even having a women's ministry? And this ministry was designed to come alongside of women of all ages, to equip and encourage and to help them shore up the calling that God has placed in each of their lives. These are Jesus-hearted women who passionately want to pursue Jesus. So we encourage them to shore up their calling by knowing who they are called to, first of all right, and what they are called for. It reminded me of 2 Peter, where he says in chapter 1, when he says that we are called to the person who is Jesus Christ. His divine power has been granted to us for all things that pertain to life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. We all, each one of us in this room, have been called to Jesus first. And then what are we called to do? Our purpose is the same. And that purpose is to look more like Jesus today than we did yesterday. We are on mission together to become partakers in his divine nature. But there's where we kind of have this little individualism. Who we're called to, who we're ministering to, our spheres of influence, they change depending where God has us walking. So we want to help the women to walk in those areas to the best of their ability, equipped and ready to have an answer for what God has placed in their hearts, to who they're serving and who they're following. And the passions and the ways in which they do that, their unique giftings, they're so different. That's what makes the body, the whole body, and the body of women that come together. But we believe as a team that encouraging is done through the word of God, because it's God's word that is the source of all of our understanding and knowledge and wisdom. It changes the lives. I've seen women become healed and whole and be able to let go of some really hard things. It is the well in which we must draw to do everything else we're doing. You know, I was reading, and A.W. Tozer said in The Knowledge of the Holy that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And he goes on to say, and we tend by the secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. So to sum it up, is what we believe is what we live. And that is like our motto. So we try to come alongside of one another, connect with one another, to help each other, encourage each other on this journey to live for Christ, to leave those things that have been in the past, leave those things that bind us. Press on with our direction and an upward calling to Christ Jesus, to not forget who we're called to be serving and why we're called to serve him. During this time of in the middle, when I was talking to some of the women, and they said one of the things that Mosaic Ministry has done for them is connected them to sisters that they had never known, that have become life partners with them, and have come together in intangible ways to encourage them. I know for myself, there are times when I feel defeated and overwhelmed by some of the areas in life that I have to face. And my mind as a woman goes to all the worst case scenarios. And my sisters bring me out of that pit. And they remind me that I serve a good and faithful Father, and that he can do more than I can even think or imagine. And that's what we need each other for. And that's what we're called to be, a mission. They also said they're encouraged when they come together at things, events like Mosaic, to just share, be validated and encouraged, and know that that they're not alone. We have started so many different things. One of the things we started was these mentoring groups. And we started our first one with a bunch of ladies. We just got together and to just encourage one another. This was a peer group. And my prayer, my heart's desire was to see this group multiply itself. Now, it's not all the way there, but I have seen some growth in that area. My mother-in-law, Jerry Riker, for one, is always gathering the women together, teaching them something in the word, and just encouraging. And I've seen tremendous healing and change through those relationships. Like Nick said, we're ironing, sharpening, ironing. So we come to our Bible studies to challenge one another, to help equip one another. We also, and to stay focused on, not to acknowledge the things that challenge us, but to be focused on the mission before us. And so I am looking forward to seeing all the things that God is going to do in each of your lives. I don't, from the youngest, the young ones, to all the way up to the oldest of us, how God is working and connecting us to be on mission together. We are definitely better together. One of the things I want to say at the end is we started another group. It's called... It's a group that mentors young leaders, young female leaders. Some of them you see here every Sunday, worshiping and singing out praises to you, their praises to God and leading you in worship. Some of them are in Taylor's group as summit leaders, in youth group, as youth group leaders. And these girls have really have a passion to follow Jesus. So we have started a group to mentor them, to help equip them, come alongside them. And I want to encourage you, because this Tuesday, we're having our Mosaic dinner, and they're leading us. They're going to lead us in worship, and they're going to lead us in prayer, and they're going to lead us in teaching. And I'm just so excited to see what God has put on their hearts to share with us ladies. So if you haven't signed up, and you just come and get to know us. Come and connect with us. And so I want to encourage you with that, and I just thank you for the opportunity to speak with you.
Stay up here. So ladies, if you have not yet signed up, you want to do that today. Guys, make sure you free your lady up to be here Tuesday night and so they can be blessed. But I just wanted to I appreciate the big part of what you're doing is creating these mentoring relationships and really pairing up. Because I'm just thinking of Maria, right, who's been leaning heavily on Deb, who Deb and Dennis are going to be moving in soon, which we won't go there, but they're leaving and God's moving them on. And so it's like, who steps up and says, I'm going to come alongside the newer believers, the ones that are just kind of moving on. And so this is a great opportunity to connect with one another. But I'm going to ask the most influential woman in my life to come. And I just want to pray for Charlene and just I'm thankful for her taking the lead for the ladies' ministry here at the church. It's not easy to be the one to break the glass ceiling in a man's world, which unfortunately is the reality in many churches. And so we're looking to kind of raise that awareness up. And if you're sitting there going, oh, no, what does that mean? If you're getting nervous right now, don't get nervous. That you've been wrongly indoctrinated. We need to recognize that God has placed in the body of Christ godly ladies and has gifted them to do wonderful things. And we need to celebrate that and then learn from that. And so we just want to kind of set you apart for that role here at the church and pray for you. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for Charlene. Thank you, Father, for a heart that is bent towards you. Father, I thank you that you've put in her heart just a desire to see from the youngest to the oldest the ladies flourish and be what you've called for them to be, to work through perhaps past hurts and fears and all the things that many of us go through. I pray, Father, that you would surround her, Lord, with a team of people that will continue to be Jesus to the ladies in the church. And Father, we thank you, Father, for her. We pray your blessing on her. Give her creative ideas and an anointing, Lord, to, Lord, just identify and release and bless and build on the women's ministry here at the church. We look forward to seeing how we will become better and stronger together as a result of that. And Father, I pray for every lady that's in the church here at Integrity. I pray, God, your blessing upon them. May they see themselves as you see them. Lord, not defined by their past, not defined by their husbands or their fathers or anybody else, but defined by you, the lover of their souls. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that are before us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks. Love you. I'm going to ask if Kimball Ware would come up. Kimball has been heading up our men's ministry here at the church, our Pillars ministry, and it has been an exciting ride just to see this group of men coming together. And we joke about the whole food thing. Well, not so much. We hit it hard. We do, but it's just been great to see your passion, to see just to be real, and I think it's just one of the things that I love so much about the brother. It's like, what you see is what you get, and I like what I see, and I just thank God for your transparency, and your desire to lead, and so why don't you share a little bit what God's doing in our men's ministry?
Well, good morning, everyone. It's been a blessing to be a part of this ministry here at Integrity. You know, when Pastor Tony asked me about 2.5 years ago, you know, want to try to move into maybe a little different direction with our men's group, get the guys motivated, and we'd like you to, you know, come on board and, you know, head that up. And, you know, think about a name that would, you know, symbolize, you know, what the men's ministry would be formatted here in the church. And, you know, I really dug deep, you know, in prayer and said, you know, God, what do you have, you know, for our men here? And, you know, that's where the name Pillars was birthed. And the correlation stands where if you look at in Roman times, the, you know, cathedrals, the stadiums, they all had pillars. And if one pillar was weak or about to crumble, you still had the other two alongside of that one in the middle to uphold the structure. And here we have our Pillars men's ministry, you know, where men upholding not only each other, but the truth, the word of God, which is what it's all about at the end of the day. And I myself really experienced that in the past year because last July, my father passed away. And it was very, you know, troubling for me because that was my rock, my go-to guy. And I was lost for a little while, you know, and still coming and doing everything that was needed to be done for the men's ministry, you know, as much of a blessing it was and how proud I was. And us men, we know when we do certain things and we're asked to, you know, start something, that pride comes in like, yeah, like I'm gonna do the best I can. But also that pride can turn into a negative connotation when we don't know and realize how to ask for help when we're struggling because we have that machismo mentality. I got this all figured out. I can do this on my own. And that's what I started to come into. But as faithful as God would have it, certain men here in our body noticed that, picked up on that. And they would call me and say, hey, Kimball, you know, is there anything I can do for you to help you out with Pillars? And I would say, you know, brother, no, I'm good, but thank you. Then another brother would come up next week at service, the end of service, and say the same thing, or I would get a phone call. You know, until I realized, you know, that I can't do it on our own. Because the enemy wants us to feel like we don't need the other brothers, the other sisters, but we're a body. And if he can take us out individually, then he takes out the body. And one of the scripture verses that really spoke to me was Ephesians 4, chapter 16. I want to read that to you. It says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint. So not just the body, but the joints, the ligaments, every aspect with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And that's exactly what the men's ministry is all about. Because in the past, even the present, everyone would say, hey, so Kimball, what's going on? What are we eating this month? What's on the menu for next month? It was food driven, which I myself, as many can see, it's one of my top priorities too. But now it's turned into, you know, Kimball, is there a need that I can pray for a brother? Or now they start to see each other's needs. And we come together and we start really coming out of our shell and truly opening up as men, because it normally doesn't happen. You know, we try to stay our lane, you stay your lane, you know, but here in Integrity, that's not happening anymore. And especially our last men's retreat, you know, we were definitely blessed by Brother Cedric Brown. And to see men just, again, de-shell, to be real with one another, to be emotional, you know, to be there and love one another, it's what it's all about. So, I mean, I want to thank a lot of the men that have come to help me out in time of need, and also thank those men to help others. And that's what this body, this men's ministry, is truly all about. So I would implore men, if you haven't come to a Pillars meeting, the food's great, but most of all, we're men upholding the truth of God, and we need one another, because if the enemy can take us out as men, he takes out our families and our children, and that's what he wants. So it's up to us to make that stance. So again, I implore you to come on out. I know this upcoming Pillars meeting is going to be joined together with Mosaic, and that's exciting, so that we can come together as a, again, a whole body. So I thank you for the opportunity to speak into your men's lives, and I would just again say, come on out, guys. It's a great time.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, so let me just mention that with the combining of the men's ministry and the women's ministry, usually the men meet on the first Tuesday of the month, the ladies meet on the third Tuesday of the month, and what which pulls us out of our homes two Tuesdays per month. And so we decided that we were going to move both of those meetings to the second Tuesday of the month, with the caveat of understanding that it is not going to be a combined event in the sense that we are sitting together and going over the same content. It is not a marriage enrichment thing. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's going to be kind of like the sixth grade dance. The boys are going to be over there, and the girls are going to be over there. Right? We're going to come together for worship together. Right? We'll eat off the same buffet. But we want the guys to connect with the guys, the ladies to connect with the ladies, and never the two shall meet. A couple reasons why. Number one, we don't want people to think this isn't a marriage thing, because we don't want people who are not married to feel like, I guess I'm not invited. That's not the message we want to send. And so we're just doing this to kind of keep you home more nights, but also provide an opportunity so that you can get out. We're also going to provide childcare, so that there are, for our young moms especially could be able to come out and be with one another. More to come on that, but just wanted to clarify, it's going to be same night, but the men will be with the men because they need to. The women will be with the women because they need to as well. Pastor Frank.
So if you're visiting this morning, this isn't a typical service, but you're going to get a real overview of some of the stuff that we do here as a church. I love the saying from an old preacher, C.T. Studd. He said, some wish to live in the sound of church and chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And missions is something that we are really intentional about developing here at Integrity Church. As a matter of fact, we wanted 2019 to be a time where we'd see more congregational participation in missions than we have. And just learning to work together, and you know, when we decided to move in this direction, you know, we wanted Integrity Church to really have more opportunity to respond in a loving way to local and global needs. And so we developed a missions team out of that. And on the missions team, we have just about a representation of every ministry here at the church, because we want it to be church-wide. And so we want to incorporate all the different ministries in the church so they know what's going on, and also they can ask how they could be involved and what they can do. So we formed that team. And I asked them an important question when we first started getting together. And I said, I want you to visualize a church that's really passionate about missions. And then ask ourselves, what do we need to do as a church to get to that point? And I think we're certainly working towards that. And you know, so there's many reasons why missions is important, and we take it seriously. And the most important reason is that Jesus commanded us to go. Mission is the heart of Jesus, and God not only calls us to Himself, but He calls us to go for Him. And so that's what missions is all about. And it's interesting, if you look in the New Testament, five times. In five different books, in five different ways, Jesus is communicating the idea of the importance of missions. And so what I think Jesus was really trying to say is, hey, I hope you guys get this. This is important to do. And then we have that passage in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And now, you know, the Great Commission wasn't just given to pastors. It was given to all of us. And so it's not, we've heard it said before, it's not the great suggestion. And our mission, and we need to look at it, is what a privilege it is to be able to work with God and what he's called us to do and to work with each other. And that's why the Apostle Paul calls us co-laborers in Christ, that we would work together with one another. And so we're working towards that. And to get the idea that we're Christ's representatives in the world, that we can represent who Jesus is and the work of the cross and what he's done for us. And it's the greatest thing that we can do and we can give to someone else, is introduce them to who Jesus is. And so looking at missions, we realize that missions definitely has an eternal significance to it. And then we need to realize that missions gives our life meaning. We've been called for more than just living for ourselves, or, you know, just kind of, you know, taking care of ourselves. We're called to take care of others and to reach out to them. So we go in power, in God's power, we go in his purpose, his plan, and we go in his presence. And so I looked back and I said, well, what are some of the things that we've done recently that could be mentioned and kind of show that we're not only a church that, you know, invites people to come here and we're missional while we're in the building, but also going out. And I look back, and I just started with March. And back in March, we did a cleanup for a family in Rocky Point, a yard cleanup for the Thompson family. If you were on that event, it was great. And we had a full spectrum of participation there. There were senior people with us, including myself. I fall in that category now, all right? There was young adults and youth people. So it was a great, great day, and we blessed them tremendously. Then we had our Good Friday event here, and we're going to certainly work on developing that in the years to come. With the idea that you would be able to invite people to come and really be exposed to you know, what the cross is all about and what Jesus has really done. We did a blood drive in April, and that was very successful. We had a baby bottle collection for Soundview Pregnancy Center. Then we cooperated with the town of Brookhaven. They had a countywide cleanup day. We went down to Shirley with Resurgence Church and John Benor, and we cleaned up the community down there. And then we had the privilege of taking on the Chestnut family as missionaries. They left the States here and went over to the Czech Republic to train leaders to share the gospel in Europe. And so we're supporting them monthly through our giving this morning. And so so many different things. We had our Vets Barbecue that we did down in Yaphank here, and it was a great day, and just you know, being involved in that. And then we did a collection for kitchenware for Timothy Hill. We refurbished all their kitchens and gave them. The foyer was full of just so many items that you guys contributed. I mean, and I've seen the church just really kind of rise to the occasion and say, yeah, we want to do this. And then we had a backpack collection for kids that were going back to school that needed school supplies, and that was very successful. Then we did our Thrive event, which is just helping women in domestic violence. And, you know, it was interesting with that event. We didn't have the turnout that we were expecting. But you know what? It was a young group of young ladies that came, and I just feel like, you know what? It was so important that at a young age they hear that there's another way to live, that there's an alternative. You don't have to live in violence and surround yourself with that. And so I thought that was really, really important. And then Andrew Spicer really blessed us, just exposing us to the mission down in Haiti, and something that we can get involved in and get behind. So you can see our reach is going out further and further. And it's not just about doing activities and doing events and good works. It's really about, you know, the heart of it is sharing the gospel and following the Great Commission. And just to mention some things that we do have coming up, we'll be starting our Thanksgiving food drive very, very soon. And also we do our warm coat winter giveaway, where we actually go out on the streets and we find people that don't have warm winter clothing, and we give them away. That's a tremendous day. I mean, and you'll find them. There was guys that came last year. It was freezing out the day we did it, And they came and they go, I don't even have a coat. And so we were able to give them a coat and gloves and hats. And also we're getting involved in a local school, middle school that has a coat drive and for students that come from low income neighborhoods, and we can provide that for them. And just so many areas that we can really give. And just in closing, I want to quote again another great preacher Oswald Chambers, and what he said. And he said, a church that doesn't evangelize will fossilize. So we don't want that to happen here. We want to go, and we want to go in Jesus' name with the good news.